sweeter than honey to my mouth. Every time you open God's Word and you read God's Word, do you know you're meeting with God? That's His Word. You're meeting with Him. Psalm 38:8, oh, taste and see, the Lord is good.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day and welcome to the broadcast. If you're tuning in for the very first time, we're currently airing Pastor Bill's recent series in the New Testament epistle of 1 Peter. Today, Pastor concludes the message, Having Been Justified. Let's listen in to Pastor Bill now.
Hypocrisy is the exact opposite of the sincere love that we covered, what was it, in chapter 1, I think verse 22. It's the exact opposite. See, hypocrisy is play acting. In other words, putting on a mask, a disguise. You wear one mask to church, but when you leave, you put on another mask. Do you understand? In other words, it's just hypocrites. Did you know that Jesus never got onto to people that were sinners? Did He get onto the hypocrites? If you don't believe me, read Matthew chapter 23, all of it, and you'll see what He thinks about hypocrites. Now, so we're to take that thing off. If you don't, you will never grow spiritually, loved one. You can't be a pretender. And then another one He says here, number four, the fourth one, we eliminate by the power of another, we strip it off, all envy. Envy's a horrible thing, isn't it? To want what somebody else has, and you'll take it from them if you can. What was one of the reasons that the chief priest wanted Jesus crucified? It was envy, wasn't it? Let me give you the scripture. There's several, but let me give you just one, Mark 15:10. It says that Jesus was aware that the chief priest had delivered Him, meaning up to Pilate, because of envy. And then after that, remember what the chief priest did? They incited the crowd. There was Pilate, there was our Lord. And they started saying, give us Barabbas, remember? And that's what they did. But number five, this sin here, the fifth one. To me, I don't know, I'm sure God feels the same way, but to me personally, this is the most filthy, horribly filthy piece of clothing that there is. If where it says that we are to eliminate, it says all evil speaking. That word all evil speaking covers it all. Gossip, lying, backbiting, all of that. And see, to speak evil of someone in the church, that is the worst kind of slander. That's what that word means, slander. The worst type of slander. Is there any love there? No. It removes love. No. Listen, one of the most wicked, damaging sins in the body of Christ today and has always been is whenever a believer lowers the image of a brother or sister that's saved to someone else in the church or in the eyes of other people. Do you know that this sin of evil speaking or slander is used in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, speaking of the Satan, the devil? Why? He is the accuser, the slanderer of the brethren. Amen? We don't want any part of that. The Bible tells us, let no corrupt communication come out of our mouths. Amen? That means rotten words, rotten language. And then it tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, it says, put away lying and speak truth to your neighbor, for we are members one of another. And then in verse 31 of Ephesians 4, it says this, let all evil speaking be put away from you. You know, when someone, and I'm around them, and I say this may sound horrible, but it brings correction immediately. I don't like evil speaking. Do you know that it hurts me? It hurts me. Because see, if I speak evil against you, loved one, you're made in the image of God. Amen? We're family. You know, and I mean, it's wrong. And so when someone does that, you know, I always say, well, you shouldn't be doing that, man. You know, I just say, well, that's pretty bold to speak evil of people, but are you bold enough to tell people about Jesus? Amen? You can speak and cut other people down, but are you bold enough to tell people about Jesus Christ, our Lord? Are you bold enough to serve in the church? But no, but you're bold enough to speak evil. That is a sin that must be eliminated. Boy, you talking about how God will, you'll not be used. If that is an habitual thing in our life, loved one, God says, no, he loves you. You've forgiven. You can be saved. I'm telling you, but you, God says, I can't use you. You speak evil. I will not allow that. Amen? It's one of the things that God hates, isn't it? Yes, it is. The Bible says in James 4:11, another command, do not speak evil of one another. And then he uses this word, brethren, meaning we are the family of God. We're the most important family on this planet. Amen? We shouldn't be speaking evil of that. Now, all of these five sins, they're sins of the heart, aren't they? Matthew 12:34, from the abundance of the heart one speaks, Jesus said. So they're sins of their heart issues. Now, it says that we're commanded, lay them aside, eliminate them, get them out of their life. Now, I want you to listen to me now. It doesn't say try to do better concerning the, do you follow me? I've got to do better. No, it's not. No, it didn't say that. It says you need to fight against those five sins. No, it didn't say that. You're commanded by the power of the Holy Spirit, and God would never command you to do something and not give you the power to do it. Amen? Okay, so you're commanded. I'm commanded to get these things out of our life, especially he listed those five sins. Why? Listen, if you feed on those sins, if you're that's your intake, number one, you're never going to grow in Christ-likeness or spiritual maturity, and those sins are going to do something. If that is a habitual lifestyle, loved one, listen now, those sins will steal from you. And here's why. If those are in your life, you know what they do? They rob you of the appetite for your Bible. They rob you for God's Word. Why? God's Word is a mirror. You're reading and you get that, you just kind of close, you don't want to hear it. Amen? Come on. Yeah, and you say, no, I just, I'm not going to, see, no, what, then all of a sudden you find yourself, you're not in the Word, you're under the Word. Do you understand? Man, and you don't want that. So you have to obey the command and eliminate those, lay them aside, once and for all, is what it means in the Greek. Again, it's aorist tense. Now, if you don't do step one, the stepping stone, step one, you'll never do step two, which is essential for growth, and that is to hunger for the Word of God. Let's look at the second stepping stone now. It says, as, or really it could be like, okay? Like newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the Word. Why? Why? That you may grow thereby. Now listen, newborn, that word is only used by Peter and it's only found here in the New Testament. It says newborn babes. Now I don't know, you know anything about babies? Listen, you know what babies do? Are they're born, right? And when they're born, they are born hungry. Are they starving? Oh, they are starving. And they come from home from the hospital and you bring them home and all of a sudden you walk into that beautiful room that you've created for them. That beautiful bassinet and that beautiful baby bed and all the blankets and the stuff on the wall, they don't care. You think they care? No. When they get home, they say, where's my iPhone? Do they do that? No. What do they want? They want some milk. I'm telling you, listen, and they're wild. Listen, they don't care about that room you work. They want one thing, and they're vocal. They're vocal about it, and they act like their whole life depends upon it. Amen? Boy, and you know, look at my granddaughter, Willa. Man, she's a trooper. No, listen. Now, here's what I want you to see. He gave us that metaphor, that example, if you will. Why? He says, but look at the word again. He says, as newborn babies, just like a baby. Now, this is not saying, loved one, now listen, this is not saying that Peter is calling the readers of that letter like they're brand new baby Christians. No, this is forever. This is, we're to be like newborn forever. Does that make sense? Not that we're to stay babies, but we want God's Word. And so that word, look at it. It says newborn babies, and it says desire. That word is a command. And if that word in the Greek is a strong, strong word, it means intense yearning. It means a deep craving and longing, and it's like the baby crying out. And you know what that baby wants? It wants the pure, not watered down, not contaminated, uncontaminated, the pure spiritual milk of the Word of God. Now listen, that means all of God's Word. from Genesis to Revelation, just not a part of God's word. I don't need that anymore. I'm mature. No, no, no. We need the entire counsel of God. Amen? That's exactly right. Now listen, a hungry baby is a healthy baby. Amen? They're eating good. They're getting fat, you know? Well, a hungry Christian for God's word is a very healthy Christian. Because you want God's word. Remember when you were first born again? I'm sure you did just like I did. I could read the book of Acts, and then I would turn around and read the book of Acts again the same day, and I would turn around again that night and get my big glass of iced tea. Remember, you know, when you're younger, I don't know if y'all drink, you know, it doesn't matter. The mason jar, remember, of iced tea? And I'd get in my bedroom and I read it over and over. I was hungry for the word of God. I wanted to devour it. It was my nourishment. Everything was alive because the word of God is alive. Amen? And that's what he's saying right here. Man, listen, a healthy Christian is a hungry Christian. And listen now, love for God's word. If you have a dusty Bible, you check your heart out. A dusty Bible leads to a dirty life. Hey, come on. Aren't you glad I'm back? See, I missed one Sunday, you know. Listen, love for God's word is evidence for the new birth. It's evidence. Every day you have to do this, loved one. Every day. The psalmist has written in Psalm 119, 140. He says this, your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. Do you love the word of God? Amen. Listen, and the reason that you may grow thereby, loved one, there is absolutely no spiritual growth apart from the word of God. Do you hear me? None. What did Jesus say in Matthew 4:4? Man does not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now listen, I know that you say, well, Bill, I go to church. You don't grow by coming to church. Now, I whet your appetite by teaching you the manna of God's word. Amen? But if you only come to church every Sunday, and that's all you get, and some of you don't come every Sunday, are you listening to me? See, that's not going to cut it. You've got to be going through the Bible every day yourself. It doesn't mean that you have to spend an hour in it, but you have to have a spiritual plan, amen, where you go over the Word. I love to go over the Word when I'm in my own, for me personally, and I love to get stuck on a verse. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And you go, oh, I got to go back. I just want to meditate. Well, God is saying there's something there for you, amen. Oh, the word of God, it is alive, loved one. And you can't grow just by coming to church. And I'm going to tell you something else. Today, we live in a weird time. You can't grow by Christian entertainment either. I mean, you can watch The Chosen 1,000 times. Come on. It's great, I guess. I don't know. I've watched it a couple of times, I think. But do you understand what I mean? But listen, that's not going to cut it. There's only one thing. You have to have what's called word hunger. Man, I mean, it's like, I got to have that milk. I want that word hunger. And listen, that is the only food a Christian has for growth. There's nothing else. There's only one food. Listen to me. There is only one food that agrees with someone who is born from above. One food, and that's the holy word of God. Amen? Nothing else agrees. It just won't do it. It has to be the word of God. And if you've lost your appetite for the word of God, you have to say, well, what's wrong with myself? Listen, the word of God, the Bible, it's the most unique, unbelievable book in the entire world, isn't it? 66 books that God has revealed himself to mankind and declared unto us things that we would never know, never. Unless he had told us, no religion in the world, none, not one religion in the world except Christianity has a book that came from heaven. Do you understand? We're the only people, and God will never, never lie to us, loved one. Oh, listen. So that spiritual growth, without God's word, if you're not growing now without God's word, did you know that you're not equipped? And not only that, you're not even complete without God's word to walk in this life. The scripture tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine or teaching about you know, what's right in this life. It also for reproof. That's what's not right. It says, and for correction. That's how to get right. And for instruction in righteousness. That's how to stay right, how to learn to please God, and how do you operate your marriage, and about warfare, all the things. It's all there. He says that the man of God, that the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We need the Word of God. Listen, without the Word of God, there is no transformation, or I should say, the seed of God has been planted, you're born again, but now you have to keep moving forward, amen? So there's no transformation without the Word of God. In Romans 12, 2, it tells us this, do not be conformed to this world, the world that we live in, the world that doesn't belong to God, meaning this antichrist system. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold to conform you. It says, but be ye, that's a verb and it's a continuous thing, be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. Why? Well, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable and holy will of God. That means to experience those things. If you don't know the Word of God, you don't know how to beat the devil. And matter of fact, if you don't know the Word of God, you don't know that the devil is beaten. Amen? See, we need the Word of God. It's our lifeline. That's how we walk this earth. It's a light into our path. It's a lamp, loved one. We need it desperately. So the first step is to lay aside. The second stepping stone is the hunger for the Word of God. But the third stepping stone is very important. Look at it, verse 3. If indeed, or literally it would read, since you have what? Say it. Since you've tasted that the Lord, kurios, meaning Jesus, that the Lord is what? He's gracious, he's good, he's kind. I'm going to tell you something. Loved one, listen to me. When you taste the water from the rock, you'll never be the same again. When you build your life on the rock, you'll never be the same again. What did Jesus tell us? He says, those who hear these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken them to a wise man who built his home or his life on the rock. Amen? On the rock. You start building your life on the rock, you're never going to be the same. You start hearing the sayings of Jesus and you do those things, you're never going to be the same. You're tasting the Lord. You're tasting that he's good, that he's kind, that he's gracious, loved one. Listen, tasted, the word tasted there means experience. Tasting the goodness of God. Oh, man. Why in the world would a Christian hunger for anything or anyone else? Amen? Self-help books, and all, nothing's going to help you like the Word of God. God is so good. Why did we repent? Romans 2:4. It's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. Amen? It's because he loves us. It's goodness. God is good. He doeth good all the time. Everything that he does is good. I open, as you know, every service with God is good. I've done that all my ministry, 40 years. Always. Why? Because I've tasted that God is good. I've tasted real life. I've tasted the new birth. Have you tasted that? Have you tasted the mercy, his mercy, when we blow it? Oh, like David, oh, be merciful to me, a sinner, oh God. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Create, oh Lord, in me a clean heart. I want a new heart. I want a brand new heart. That's that word create is bara. It means I don't want my old heart anymore. I want a new one. And, amen? I tasted his love. To know that he loves you. Have you tasted? Have you experienced that? Oh, his grace or his forgiveness. And you blow it and you run to him and say, oh, God, look what I did. I'm so ashamed of myself. And he is faithful. And he is just to cleanse us of all sin if we confess it. Amen? Oh, listen, have you tasted that? I look at all the things that he's done. Have you tasted the power from upon high? That upper room experience? It's yours. Oh, have you tasted his provision when there is no provision? Have you tasted when you are lonely and he comes to you and you're not lonely anymore? Or when you're hurting or you go through trials or temptations or when you fall flat on your face or even when he corrects you, that's God's goodness, his provision, or when a prayer is answered. Oh, that is so wonderful. God's strength. Have you tasted that? When you don't think you can go on, when you don't want to go on, when all that you want to do is give up, God says, oh no, I'm not through with you yet, for he who began a good work in you will complete it until the very day of Christ Jesus. Oh, listen, the goodness of God. Have you tasted the healing of God? Has he healed your body? No, God is a healer. God sets people free. He doesn't put people in bondage. Have you tasted the healing power of God, where he heals your body, heals your wounds, heals your hurt? He puts you back together. Have you experienced and tasted that in your life? Someone said the other day, well, I'm going to a healing meeting and everybody, and there's every person that's sick, they're all getting healed. And I said, well, you all are getting healed? I said, I know God's a healer. But I said, if you're going to go to that meeting, here's what you need to do. You need to put your hand on the wall and your arm around your wife, because you never know what's going to happen there, loved one. Do you understand? No, God is a healer. He's a true healer. He touches you. He wants to touch you. You're his body. You're part of his body. It's no different. He's the head of the church, and he's like, oh, look, there's Bill. He's hurting right there. He's down, or maybe I'm like the little toe in that stuffy shoe. But he knows. He knows all about you. The psalmist has said in Psalm 119, 103, oh, how sweet are your words, oh God, to my taste. The word of God, is it, how do you like it? How's your palate? Oh, sweet. It says, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Every time you open God's word and you read God's word, do you know you're meeting with God? That's his word. You're meeting with him. Psalm 38:8, oh, taste and see. Not only just taste it, but watch. Taste and see. The Lord is good. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the woman who trusts in him. Having been born again. Are you born again? Is there anyone here this morning that maybe you're not born again? Anyone listening live, you're not born again. Do you know that Jesus did something for you? Listen to me. Jesus tasted, there's that word again, tasted, experienced your death so that you would never taste what death really is. Amen? No, to be absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. Death can't have us. He defeated death. Amen? Yes. Now, if you don't know Christ, you know what you're going to taste? Listen, if you're not born again, you're going to taste what Jesus tasted for you. You're going to taste death, eternal death. He doesn't want you to taste that. Oh, man, listen. You must be born again or you will taste what Jesus doesn't want you to taste. See, when you come to Christ, eternal hell can never have you. Amen. So maybe this morning, I mean, you're here and you know, don't you want to taste life again, real life? I mean, don't you want to get out of that trap that you're in? His name is Jesus Christ. He'll set you free right now. This is a holy time. If you don't know Jesus, I mean, you could be coming to church, but you got one mask at church and another the moment you walk out the door. Are you born again? He loves you. He died for you. He wants to set you free. All you have to do is this. If you don't know Christ and you know the Holy Spirit is beating on your heart right now, this is between you and God. Just lift your hand and put it right back down and say, Bill, I want you to pray for me. I want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. I want to be saved. You don't have to get out of your chair, but you have to lift that hand high that I can see it, and we're going to pray for you. Anyone at all this morning in this congregation. Father, I don't believe I see anybody's hands. I believe, Lord, that everyone here must be saved. So, Lord, if there's anybody listening live, and if you don't know Jesus, why don't you call on him right now? He's ready, and he'll come into your life, and he will save you.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to the program this week. My name is Brian Whitaker. On behalf of Pastor Bill, may the Lord bless you with a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.